Well, thank you, team. So we are in a series that we're calling Better, and it's a really simple idea. All of us want God to let us know how things could be better. So we're really simple. It's not a tough formula. We're looking at verses in the Bible that have the word better in them. It's not that complicated. In fact, I'm encouraging you to memorize some of these verses so we'll not just hear them, but know them and digest them. And I'm so thankful to be giving you an outline and a bunch of resources from Greg Groeschel. You'll find that in the bulletins. And man, this has been hitting me hard. And I'm really excited because I am convinced that for many of us, this message, the verse we're looking at, has a potential to impact your life in a really powerful way. So I want to encourage you to listen in to what God has for you from His Word. And if God wants to tell you something, to show you something, to change you in some way, I want to encourage you to listen to what God might have for you to do. And as always, I have some high expectations that God does just that. Because here's the deal, we're going to learn a lesson today that I can promise you, you're going to learn the lesson eventually. You can learn it the easy way, like my dad used to say, or you can do it the hard way. You can learn this lesson today, or you may learn this lesson on your deathbed when you look back over the years and years and find regrets. Or you may learn this after a battle with burnout or anxiety, or you may learn this lesson, you know, you may not get it until you're on the other side of this life in eternity, and you look back and you go, oh man, I wish I could get some of that time back and do it over. But by then you can't. So my prayer is that we learn this lesson today, and it makes a difference on how we all do life. Now, our main thought today, if you're taking notes or looking in the sermon handout, which should be in your bulletin, it's also on the online bulletin, that the idea is this. It's really simple. It's better to have less of what doesn't matter and more of what does. Like, it's better, it's actually better to have a little bit less of what doesn't matter if that means you could have more of what really does matter. And the verse, the theme verse, the verse I want you to memorize is Ecclesiastes 4:6. I'm going to read it, and I want you to think about it, and at least once, let's say it loudly together. And I'll ask you, if you're in this room, even if you're sitting at home, say it out loud. Saying things out loud helps you get it in your head. Here's our verse. Better is one handful with tranquility than two hands full with toil and chasing after the wind. You guys are so good. Let's say it again. Better one handful with tranquility. You guys are so good. It's better to have one handful than just anxiety and pursuing a goal you just can't meet. We're going to say it one more time. This time, let's try it without looking at the screen. We'll say it together. Here we go. Better is one handful with tranquility than two hands full with toil chasing after. One more time, you got this. Better is one handful with tranquility than two hands full with toil. Man, you guys got this. This is great. It's better to have one handful than two sometimes. Now, let me illustrate this. I've got a one-year-old, Luke. Now, some of you who aren't in this room haven't seen him since he was a little tiny baby, but he's grown up a lot in the last year. Now he's at least one handful. Like, I love that kid, but he recently went from crawling to running. He's in this tank phase right now. I shouldn't even say it. I'm embarrassed him, but his new thing is he chases the dog's tail now, and when he catches the dog, he actually, like, bites the dog's tail, and it's great. And I don't think the dog likes it very much, but it's a pandemic, and our activity choices have narrowed to biting the dog now. And we all want to get out now, especially the dog. But Luke eats just about everything. He eats dog food. He eats lotion. He eats the dog. Like, we don't let him do those things. But Luke doesn't know this lesson. He does not believe that one handful is better than two. In fact, Luke believes that it's always better to have more. Could be anything. Bowls of popcorn, basketballs, Chromebooks, coffee cups. Like, he thinks what a lot of us think, that more is always better. And it's not good because for Luke, like a lot of us, too much trips him up. Like literally, he will run around the house, his hands full of stuff, and he doesn't even know what he has. He just picks up random stuff sometimes. He can't see what's ahead of him, which is bad. And I was going to get a video or picture something, but you can sort of imagine what this looks like when he has two things in his hands. And I don't even know if it's a development thing or what, but I've seen the kid. He'll trip. And if he has one hand full, if he's holding one thing, it's fine. He can block his fall. Having one hand full is better because he can protect himself and get other stuff. But I'm not even kidding. When he's got two things, it's so messed up. He'll go straight to the ground, face first. He doesn't even let go of the stuff in his hands. He just straight on because he's got two hands full. And it's really bad. It's dangerous. We don't let him around stairs. It freaks us out. But and then he'll actually miss out on stuff that he'd like because when he's got two hands full, it's bad. He can't protect himself from falling. He can't help anybody else. He gets hurt. He is way better off with one hand full than two. That's basically the lesson for today. It's better to have less of what doesn't matter and more of what does. But don't take Luke's word for anything, because he can't talk. But Jesus hits this principle head on in the New Testament. In fact, Jesus isn't shy at all about his words. Here's what Jesus says in Luke 12:15. And he's talking to a group of people and he just spits it out. He says, "Watch out." Everyone say this with me. Everyone say, "Watch out."
Watch out.
There you go. Jesus says, "Watch out, everybody. Be on your guard." In other words, look, never let your guard down. Something is going to sneak up on you. Something could mess you up. Something could damage you in ways you're not aware of. Jesus says, "Watch out. Be on your guard against," do it says, "all kinds of greed." Taking more and more and more and more. Why? Because a man's life, he says, does not consist in an abundance of possessions. Watch out, be on your guard, Jesus says. More is not always better. Watch out for greed. Be on your guard because your life is not defined. It does not consist in what you got. And then he tells a parable. It's the next verse. I'm not going to put it on the screen, but he basically says, look, once upon a time, there was a guy who had a really successful business. And the guy says, "Oh man, this is my entire life, and I love it. I'm going to tear down my barns and build new ones, bigger ones, better ones. We're going to expand. Here's what the rest of my life looks like. I'm going to expand, drink, and be merry, and be happy." And Jesus says, you can read it, he says, "Nice plan, but on that very night," the story goes, "your life may be taken away from you." Why? Here's what Jesus says next. This is verse 21. I don't think I have it on the screen. He says, this is exactly how it will be. "For anyone who stores up things for himself, but is not rich toward God." This is what it's like for someone who says more and more and more, chasing after the wind, as Ecclesiastes says, but doesn't have the thing that matters the most in life, which is a relationship with God himself. That's what Jesus says. And I'm convinced that, you know, the story isn't about having a lot. There's nothing wrong with building more barns or being successful or working hard. That's not the definition of greed. Here's what God does talk a lot about, though. In the story, in the Bible, God does not want what we have to have us. God doesn't want what we have to own us. He wants us to be rich toward things that really matter, which is exactly why it's better to have less of what doesn't matter and more of what does. Better is one handful with tranquility than two with toil and a chasing after the wind, is our verse. Now, what in the world does that mean? Now, if it's better to have what does matter, what you need to do right off the bat is to define really clearly for you what really matters. And I'm not really going to tell you what should matter to you. I want you to think about it. And I think if you have a sermon outline, you've got some blanks. But if I gave you 30 seconds, we'll start the clock now. If you were to write down one or two or three things, what really, really matters to you, what would you put down? It should be easy. Don't look at me. Just write it down. I want you to think about it. And if you have writer's block, if you're going, I don't know what really matters, that might be a problem. So let me make it a little easier for you. Imagine you go to the doctor, and the doctor says, you know, Sam, I've got some really bad news for you. You have 1 month left to live, 30 days. That's all you got. If you had 30 days to live, what are you going to do in your next 30 days? That might tell you what really matters to you. All of a sudden, when you have a scarce amount of time, what is important? If you only got weeks, what's really important? Answer the question, write it down. You might need more time than I'm giving you. But I've seen this done before. I've seen surveys. I've watched interviews. If you're like most people, I don't know exactly what you're going to put down, but I can guess what you're not going to put. I've seen surveys done like this. If you've got 30 days to live, people are way less concerned about how much money they're making in the next year. All of a sudden, the kind of car they're driving isn't as important. Nobody puts down the kind of countertops they're putting in their kitchen, right? Nobody puts down the kind of phone they have, or I don't think any of you right now are writing the fact that the 76ers are at the top of the Eastern Conference, sadly, which is just amazing. But the thing is, a lot of things don't matter. The weird, weird thing about people, though, is whatever you're going to write down is probably different than what you're spending most of your time with. If you're like most people, the things that take most of your time up probably don't show up on the list of things you say is really important, really typical. People say, this is the most important thing in your life, and then you're like, well, how come you're not working on that at all? And they're like, I don't know. Why are you spending all your time on all this other stuff that doesn't make your list of important stuff? So I want you to really think about it. What is really, really important to you? And I think, you know, the verse God's giving us can help you accomplish what you think is important. The first step is to get rid of things that don't matter so you can focus on things that do. Maybe the picture that I want you to, you know, maybe this will stick in your mind. Greg Rochelle calls this one handful living. And he says, what's obvious, you know, most people grasp with both hands for everything, and we got, you know, full everything. And, you know, Solomon says, better is one handful than two with toil and anxiety, which raises a big question. How do you live what he calls a one handful life? How is it possible to live your life consistently, accomplishing the things that you really say that you value, without getting distracted? Here's a couple thoughts, and then three really simple application points. And my hope is that God speaks to you in a way that changes your life. How do you live a focused, one handful life? Well, the obvious one is, what's point one? You've got to let go of things that don't matter. Let go of what doesn't matter. You can go back to the previous slide. The writer of Hebrews says in chapter 12, verse 1, says, let us, see what it says, throw off. What do you throw off? Here's what scripture says. Let us throw off everything. Everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. Why would we do that? Why would you let go of things that don't really matter? So, Hebrews says, so that we can run the race with perseverance that's marked out for us. Let us throw off everything that hinders. Now, just so we're clear here, the Greek word translated throw off, some of your Bibles say cast down, it is a decisive action. It is a ripping off the Band-Aid, jumping off the deep end sort of action. This isn't going, you know, maybe I should hang on to this. Maybe I should put it in my pocket for a while. I don't know about this. The word, you know, it's like The word, let me illustrate it this way. The word means just get rid of it. It's like, you know, so every once in a while in our house, one of my kids find a stink bug. And sometimes it's in really close proximity. The other day, Colette, our oldest daughter, she's about to brush her teeth, and now she's lifting up her toothbrush. On the bristles, you can guess what happens next, right? There's a stink bug on the bristles, and Colette's great. She's not a star athlete, but you've never seen an athlete throw anything off that fast. Like, she was like the Flash, her hands were empty so fast, you would not believe it. That's what the word means, cast it off. If there's something in your life that hinders, if there's something in your hands that is just too much, it gets in the way, it weighs you down from doing what God's called you to do, if it slows you down in the race marked out for you, throw it out like Colette throws out a toothbrush with a stink bug on it. Like, you could probably imagine, she doesn't look at it, right? She doesn't spend a lot of time within her hands. Before you know it, it's like 30 feet away. I don't even know how that happens. And we don't have the time to talk about everything this verse, but here's what's true about Christians. You don't have the luxury of being a storage bin for random stuff. You're a runner. There's a race that God has marked out for you. There's a track. You know, the Bible says that God has a will, you have a purpose, and God has put you here on this earth to do something significant. And your spiritual enemy, like the best way of getting you off of that track isn't always to put a roadblock. It's for, you know, sometimes I think the enemy, our sinful nature goes, well, you're a runner, but what about this? You could hold this. Why don't you do this too? And before you know it, you are chasing after the wind, not the race, spending your whole life on things that don't even make your this is important list. And you get to the end of your race and you go, why did I spend all that time on that thing that really never mattered? Because to run a race, you've got to have the discipline to throw off things that hinder, to throw it down, cast it off, and get rid of whatever stops you from doing what God's called you to do. I'm going to give you a couple quick phrases from Greg Rochelle, how to do this. And I want you to encourage you to just pray about how to do it. As you evaluate your life, think about cutting back, throwing out, and turning off. Cut back, throw out, turn off. What are we going to do? Say with me. Here we go. We're going to cut back, throw out, turn off. That's his phrase. I hope it's memorable. What do you cut back? I have no idea what you need to cut back. But most people in our country probably need to cut back on spending and on their schedules. Maybe start with spending. Better is one handful. It's better to have less with peace and financial margin, you could say, than to have your hands full with a financial noose around your neck and a lot of credit card debt. That's common sense, right? Better to have one handful with money left over at the end of the month than two hands full with fights and worries and financial fears. Now, lots of people need to cut back. We also need to cut back on schedules. Like, think about this. For some of us, we need to get really prayerful and maybe even aggressive about cutting back on society's pressure to say yes to everything. You ever think about this? What is the most common answer to the question in our culture? Like, no matter where you are, when someone goes, how are you doing? Here's what most people say. Oh man, I am so what? Busy, which is so silly. Like, it's a pandemic right now. There's nothing to do, right? Lots of things are closed. Lots of activities are canceled. I'll ask people, how are you doing? And most of us just keep saying, I'm so busy. I'm so tired. I don't know the last time, to be honest, I asked someone how they're doing, and they said, I'm so relaxed. I've got free time now. I got to spend a lot of nights at home. I got extra time to do stuff that matters. It's been a long time since someone said that. And even now, it's a pandemic. Lots of things are canceled. Lots of things are closed down. And some of us are like, I'll talk to you, and you're like, I'd love to read my Bible. I'd love to join Jim and Lori's small group Bible study. I would just love to spend more time praying or calling folks. I really think this is really, really important, but I can't because I'm just so busy. Here's the deal. If you want to do things you think are important, you're going to have to say no to other things so you could say yes to things that are better. This is really, really hard, right? Because as soon as you say no, people feel let down or disappointed. I'll be honest, I don't like telling people no. But doing that will protect you. It will free a hand to do something that's important. And it will allow you to get undistracted and focused on what God's called you to do. That's the first thing, you got to cut back. Second thing, you know, having one less hand full means throwing out. We got clutter, right? I'll bet there are some things that you have, some things that you do, that you're just holding them and they take away from your time and resources, taking up space in your hands, and you don't even know why you still got them. Some of you need to take a bunch of loads to the thrift store. They have more stuff they can get rid of right now, but you need to be able to walk around your house. Like when my one-year-old Luke is walking around with two handful, and we watch him a lot, but he'll chase the dog, and when the dog is getting nervous and ready to run, and especially like anywhere close to hard objects or something, when she's like walking around with a lot, I get nervous he's going to fall down and face first hurt himself. So I'll yell, drop it. Like whatever you're carrying, put it down before you get knocked over and somebody gets hurt. Some of us need to drop things before our priorities escape us. We need to throw it out before it's too late. And some of us have a bunch of things to do. And finally, last thing Greg Rochelle says is turn it off. I don't know what you need to turn off, but a lot of us need to turn things off. I don't know what it is. Maybe it's a television. Maybe sometimes we should, you know, I think some of us are wasting time watching TV sometimes. Most people in the country spend more time watching TV than we do in God's word or serving at church or contributing to our community. And we waste the most valuable resource God has given us, which is our time. You can watch the news, but you will never make a difference by just watching news. I have had the privilege of spending a lot of time with people in the hospital, praying around what became their deathbeds. I talked to a lot of folks facing death in the face. I've never heard anybody list their regrets and go, man, I sure wish I'd watched a little bit more TV. Like, as I come to the end of my life, man, it would have been so much better if I had got a couple more episodes in of King of Queens or something, right? Nobody does that. So why do we waste our life spending a huge percentage of our time doing things that might not even matter? And this is not easy for me to say. I'm not the best example of this, to be really honest. I do follow the news. I do watch TV. But probably the worst thing I do is I'm on my phone a bit too much. And I like my phone. Sometimes it's work. Sometimes, talking to people all the time is a big part of what I do as a pastor. Adam tells you guys to contact me all the time, and you do, so I'm on my phone. It's a great resource. I read the Bible. I'm doing the Bible in a Year thing on my phone. It's great. But I think I should probably turn it off a little bit. I don't know if anyone looks back in their life and goes, man, I wish I spent more time at the dinner table catching up about the news about the new head coach of the Philadelphia Eagles. No one's going to do that, right? Maybe it's better to have one hand full with tranquility than two with toil. And yeah, I just got to tell you, I think some of us need to get really serious and throw out, cast out. We just need to turn off what doesn't really matter. Actually, say this point with me. Let go of what doesn't matter. You can say that with me. Let go of what doesn't matter. That's number one. Number two, we need to start pursuing and fighting for what does really matter. There's a story in the book of Nehemiah that two of the bad characters, Sanballat and Tobiah, they're trying to discourage God's people and trying to get them to stop doing what God's told them to do, which is building a wall. And Nehemiah comes in and says, look, you got to fight for what counts. You got to find what God's called you to do. And he uses language, fight. He says, remember the Lord who is great and awesome. So worship God and then do what? Here's what it says. I'm reading on the screen. Fight for your brothers and your sons and your daughters and your wives and your home. Nehemiah just goes, look, think about what's important here. Draw your swords, fight like a man, he says. Run like a marathon runner. Get focused on what's important and do it. Don't waste your time. Have less of what doesn't matter and more of what does. And here's the fact, God has given us so much. God has given us so much. In your life, what God's given you is too valuable to waste on what doesn't matter. Your calling is too great. Our God is too good for us to waste our lives on what may never make a difference. I mean, this is the Bible, right? God made you in his image. He created you to glorify him. You have the opportunity to make a difference. You can make him known. You can love him. You could love people. Don't waste that by chasing after the wind, by filling up your hands, your life, your time, by more and more, getting weighed down so much you can't run your race. Watch out. Be on your guard. Your life does not consist of a collection of things and the busyness of life. It's better to have one handful with tranquility. It's better to have one handful and a good marriage. It's better to have one handful and children that you know. It's better to have one handful and to be able to invest and make a difference in things that really matter in this life. It's better to have one handful and close friends. It's better to have one handful and a great, rich relationship with God. It is better to have one handful and influence. It's better to have one handful and margin and peace. Because it is infinitely better to have less of what doesn't matter and more of what does. And I don't know what sort of changes each of us need to make as we look at our lives. But I just want to let God speak into your life, and maybe shake us up a little bit and speak to us, and maybe be different. Because better is one handful with tranquility than two hands full with toil and chasing after the wind. So Father in heaven, you know, it all starts with a glimpse, a revelation of how generous you are, of the opportunities and resources that you've given us. So Father, I pray that you would give us a picture of how holy, holy, holy you are right now. Give us an image, a revelation of our calling that you've given us. And Father, I pray that you would change us in powerful ways. Help us to repent of the ways that we are poor stewards of what you've given us. And may we use what you've given us to run the race you've set out before us. May we make an impact. May we help people around us. May we be like your son. I ask this in his name, Jesus. Amen.